Offseason week number three in the books. I'm Andrew Mason of DenverBroncos.com. Thanks for joining me on this week's podcast. And this week, I was down at the East-West Shrine Game practices with Ryan Edwards and Steve Atwater of Orange and Blue 760. We had some shows from down there. You can actually go and listen to some of them on Orange and Blue 760, our daily wrap-ups of everything that went on down there. Quite a few players caught our eye. I mean, I'm just thinking about a couple in particular that I touched on DenverBroncos.com on video and in print as well. Marcel Frazier of Missouri, Chad Thomas of Miami, defensive end, who's actually going to be at the Senior Bowl next week, which we'll be covering in person. Joe Osman, edge rusher out of Central Michigan, real speedy guy, a lot of moves, 14 sacks in 10 games last year and showed he could take it to the next level. Kentavious Street, defensive lineman out of North Carolina State. Deidrin Sinat out of South Florida, a nose tackle that I like, and I think Steve Atwater really loved. We were raving about the spin moves that he had on the inside, which, you know, a lot of guys can make spin moves to try to get into the backfield in pass rush situations, but you rarely see spin moves like this from a 322-pounder at ballet-like grace. These are some of the hidden gems in the draft that are going to be there. One thing I like to say, I like to cite an old Calvin and Hobbes book title, which was, there's treasure everywhere. There's treasure everywhere in this draft. We're obviously going to be kind of focusing on first and second round picks for most of the next few months. But as you know, key contributions have come from Broncos picked in the later rounds and coming from the undrafted ranks. And we surely saw some future Broncos at the East-West Shrine Game. Certainly, there are two players from last year's East-West Shrine Game on the Broncos, Jamal Carter and Damontae Thomas. So probably see some that are at least in camp this year. And one player could be on the radar, especially if the Broncos decide to get a young quarterback later in the draft rather than early, is a familiar name to a lot of you listening. Nick Stevens out of Colorado State. A solid week. I thought he got better with every passing day. No pun intended there. And after Wednesday's practice, I caught up with him along with Ryan Edwards and Steve Atwater. Give that a listen, and we apologize for the wind blowing. A cold front was moving through St. Petersburg as we conducted the interview, but Nick Stevens, pretty cool to talk to him. Good guy. Good week for him. Give that a listen.
All right, we're here with Nick Stevens, CSU Rams quarterback, obviously here at the East-West Shrine Game. What's the experience been like so far?
So far, it's been an incredible experience. You know, really, really happy to be a part of this. You know, not only getting the chance to play with great players around great coaches, be in front of so many scouts, but, you know, also the opportunity to go to the hospital when we got in on Sunday. That was, you know, life-changing experience, really eye-opening, the way those kids can, you know, have a great time and bring a smile to their faces when they're going through so much adversity. It's just a heartwarming thing to see. And then out here, you know, it's just trying to get better, show that you can improve, show that you can get, you know, the playbook down. And so that's been a challenge, but, you know, it's been fun. And I think that we're really responding to that challenge, cleaning up every day, getting better every day. And that's what you want to see.
The coaching that you've got out here this week, you've gotten some tips, I'm sure. What kind of pointers have you received this week that you feel can help you in your game going forward?
You know, just trying to pretty much eliminate, you know, as much as you can in a play. When you go up to the line, you know, instead of having to read the whole field, you know, we split it down the middle. If it's like a mirrored route, split it down the middle, pick a side, stay aside, rip it, play loose, stuff like that. We received really, really good coaching. You know, obviously most of it is just on the basic, you know, plays, because we have to get those plays down first. But we're starting to get a little bit more into technique now that we have the playbook down.
Now, how big of a jump is it? I mean, playing against some of the guys from the larger schools than you did at CSU. Is that impacts you anyway in terms of a little bit more pressure playing against some of the guys from bigger schools?
You know, we're playing against some guys from bigger schools, but we also have those guys on our side of the ball as well. You know, so it's a pretty cool situation we have here. Kind of some of the best from all around college football together in one, on one field. You know, making each other better. Obviously, it's tough at first because we're both new to the offense or defenses that we're running. But I think we've gradually gotten better. We're competing every day, and you see full effort out there, which is awesome.
Yeah. Nick, what are some of the challenges of getting on the same page with as he's talking about, you know, different players, wide receivers, running backs, the guys you have never worked with ever before, and it's such a short amount of time to get ready for a game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's definitely tough, you know, coming out the first day, especially, you know, throwing to guys you've never thrown to in your life. Some of them you haven't even seen play, you know. But, you know, we're like I said earlier, gradually getting better, gradually getting that timing down, and that's huge. You know, sometimes it takes a few months to get timing down with your own receivers to where you know exactly what to expect from them. So, you know, we're going to have to realize there's definitely going to be some mistakes on Saturday. We just have to limit them, overcome them, and try as best we can to get on the same page.
In addition, obviously, the hospital visit away from the field, got a lot of scouts around and talking to you sometimes here after practice, but also kind of back at the hotel. What do you get from those conversations with scouts from teams, and what are they telling you about how they see you at the next level?
You know, so the basically, they're just all introduction interviews, making sure you haven't been in any trouble for the most part. Sometimes allow you to kind of explain your background in football, and they'll ask you to drop a play, drop a defense. And I feel like that's where I've excelled in those interviews whenever they do that, because that's kind of my strength in the game is the mental side. But, you know, as far as feedback I've heard, you know, they've said, you know, whenever you get into camp, just take advantage of every opportunity. You know, you may not be the starter, but any chance you can to get better, you know, take advantage of that. And I've heard that from several guys, and you know, some have said it doesn't matter where you go, you know, as long as you compete, you'll be all right. So it, like I said, it's definitely been a great experience. We not only have those meetings, you know, off the field, but we've had to get a couple extra quarterback meetings in as well, just so we get a head start on reviewing the film, so that the next day's you know, meeting goes a lot smoother.
Now, what would you want NFL teams and fans out there to know about Nick Stevens that, you know, no one's really asked you?
That's a tough one.
It's a pretty big question there, Steve. That's pretty strong.
I mean, it may be something that, you know, you want to relay about yourself that people may not know.
So I'd say maybe one thing people don't really see, you know, when fans come to games, all they see is kind of the finished product. Just I take, you know, the preparation very seriously, the film work, all that stuff, and you know, work as hard as I can to make sure that I'm ready to play on whatever day that, you know, the game is. So just I'm a guy that takes preparation very seriously, and I try to put myself in the best situation possible. Again, fans really only see what you did, you know, in game day. They don't even really see practice. So there's just a lot that goes into it. You know, I definitely try to make sure that I'm in the best situation possible to have success.
Last couple more for you. Appreciate the time, man. Let me ask you mentioned the mental side, and I've always been kind of curious. Like, we've debated it, but from a quarterback's perspective, what's the most important thing to playing quarterback at this level, at the next level? What do you see that?
So I think in college football, a lot of times, you know, guys that have, you know, big arms kind of get away from being a little bit late on their reads. When you watch NFL games, you know, the windows are so tight that you have to get the ball out before the receiver's even looking back at you. And I think through the preparation, that's how you put yourself in a situation where you can do that. If you take your preparation lightly, you're going to be late on throws. They get knocked down, intercepted, and that's when you don't really play anymore. So I think it's huge, especially at this level, you know, trying to make it in the NFL, to make sure you're prepared and have that mental side of the game down. You know exactly what to expect from your receivers, where they're going to be, you know exactly what your reads are. And so that's what we're working to right now.
Awesome.
And finally from me, with the emphasis on under center work this week, how much has it helped to have Jake Bennett out here with you going through that?
Yeah, well, we've rotated centers, so I haven't been with him, you know, the whole time. But whenever I get in there with him, you know, the both of us have talked and we both feel super comfortable, you know, just having all that experience together, having 5 years, you know, being under center from him. And especially because we ran an offense where we were under center a lot, you know, we have that chemistry and we're on the same page, you know, every time.
Do you feel that gives you a little bit of a head start on some of the other quarterbacks coming out of spread offenses that you've done so much work under center?
Yeah, I think so. But I will say, you know, those other guys have done a great job this week under center, you know, getting their depth, taking, you know, drops from under center. So definitely got to commend them on their work and kind of focus on trying to make that shift. So they've done a great job. But, you know, I will say I feel comfortable out here taking those snaps under center.
Very cool. Hey, really appreciate it. Yeah, congratulations. Man. Good luck at the next
Thank
level.
Best luck, man. Pulling for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time, man.
Take care of yourself, man.
That, of course, is Nick Stevens of Colorado State. Next week, on to the Senior Bowl. And, of course, a big story is the Broncos coaching the North team, coaching a team that's going to have both Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield and Wyoming's Josh Allen, both of whom were in the top 13 picks of the mock draft that I posted on DenverBroncos.com on Friday. I actually have Baker Mayfield mocked to the Broncos. And I know what you may be thinking, that the Broncos could be looking for a veteran quarterback in trade or free agency. And that certainly is a possibility. Would not surprise me if they do that. And certainly if they get a veteran who can be a viable option for not just the short term, but the long term, you're not necessarily looking at a quarterback in the first round. But we'll see how that ends up going. You know, the Broncos, they've got a decent amount of cap room in all likelihood, but don't forget, you've got to pay the rookie class out of that. You're going to have some potential restricted free agent contracts. Guys like Matt Paradis, Shaquille Barrett, they're restricted free agents. If you bring them back, their cost is going to go up. That will chew up part of the available cap space. So things are in flux. At this point, the possibilities are wide open. What we know going into next week, of course, is that the Broncos will get that firsthand work with Mayfield and Allen. So they're going to have some intel and information that a lot of teams aren't going to have based on that up close and personal look at these two quarterbacks. Of course, don't forget about the two other quarterbacks that are going to be on the North team with the Broncos. Talking about Luke Falk out of Washington State, who I'm really curious to see, considering he's got a big transition going from the Mike Leach air raid offense to a pro style offense. But if he does well next week, he's got a chance to zoom up some boards. Tanner Lee had a year of eligibility remaining at Nebraska, opted to turn pro after the coaching change from Mike Riley to Scott Frost. You often see that, of course, with players that if they're going in their senior year and there is a coaching change, they say, okay, fine, I'm going to move on. You know, I might hurt my draft stock by coming back. If I get lost in the shuffle, maybe I lose my job, that sort of thing. But Tanner Lee has been productive at Nebraska. Really tough situation for him team-wide. Not a lot of support at times. It's a good chance for him to step up. He's kind of a dark horse among the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl, but the Broncos will get a close-up look at him, as well as plenty of other players. The North roster, it looks stacked, at least compared to the South roster. I think the North has better depth, better overall talent, and certainly the edge of the quarterback position, because unless Kyle Lauletta out of Richmond really has a breakthrough week, and I think he's going to have a good week, but unless he has a breakthrough week out of nowhere, can't see him playing his way into the first round. And I don't see first rounder among the rest of the South team Senior Bowl quarterbacks. A big reason why, of course, Mason Rudolph, who was expected to be in the game, he pulled out because of a left foot injury. Tough break for him. I've still got him in my mock first round going to Buffalo. We'll see if that holds up. So that's the Senior Bowl next week. We'll have plenty of content on DenverBroncos.com. Don't forget, you can listen to me, Ryan Edwards, and Steve Atwater, not just in our usual 10 to noon Mountain Time spot, and we'll be down in Mobile having our shows from there all week, but Tuesday through Thursday, tune in 6 to 7 p.m. on Orange and Blue 760. And of course, we've got the stream on DenverBroncos.com. We've got the stream on the Orange and Blue 760 website. Plenty of ways to listen. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the three practice days for the Senior Bowl, we're going to have a daily wrap-up 6 to 7 p.m., the kind of analysis and insight and in-depth look at what's going on down there you can only get from Orange and Blue 760. So encourage you to tune in. If you're driving home, keep it on Orange and Blue 760 from 6 to 7, of course. And if you're on your app, if you're on the web, you know how to listen. Find out exactly what happened. Who's up? Who's down? Who's making an impression? We'll tell you all that and more with our daily wraps Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on Orange and Blue 760. Before we're out of here for the week, on to the conference championships. Yeah, kind of overlooked. I mean, just take a look at Thursday, for instance. League-wide, the biggest story, at least the one that people were talking about the most, it seemed, wasn't the conference championship games. It was Mel Kiper's mock draft on ESPN.com. So sort of a testament to the allure of the draft, the power of draft season, quite frankly, which is almost like the regular season at this point. But still, you're going to have four teams battling out for a chance to go to Super Bowl 52. Who's going to win? Find out from our picks. See if you agree or disagree. And you might think I'm a little bit crazy for at least one of my selections. Find out why right now.
It's Football Friday, guys. We got to get to our picks.
Oh, man, y'all going to make the comeback on me this week.
And it is a rule, Steve, whatever pick you have here, you can't just change right after we make our pick.
But the question is, who makes the rules?
We do, because we're tracing.
You just keep Keep it real.
I'm keeping it real because if you pick the Patriots and we decide to chase, you can't be
I'm
like
picking the Patriots okay, this week.
I know. I'm just saying you can't go back and be like, oh, y'all right. I'm taking the Jags.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. I'm taking the Patriots, and you already know the other team will take. So you know my picks.
But I want you to say it now. Why Patriots? Because it's at Foxborough. Because of the history of winning. Look, we have 5 minutes to fill here. Give me a reason why, with Tom Brady's hand, and the line, by the way, as Andrew Mason pointed out via text last night, the line's moving.
He gonna have a red glove on, too.
I guess he had a glove on today talking to the media. Worried about look, Tom Brady's hand.
Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
Got it on the screen right now. Look at that, Tom Brady not practicing on Thursday. He's got a hand injury. By the way, is this a little bit like a little bit showmanship? Maybe a little bit. Is the Patriots putting it in the Jags' minds that maybe they're playing not 100%?
Maybe.
Gamesmanship?
Gamesmanship.
Yes. Bill Belichick, yeah. Tom Brady versus Blake Bortles.
Instant chatter.
So, I mean, that's the only explanation you need.
For everybody, would 7.5 right now.
I don't go against that, man. I can't. Now, Blake would have been a veteran quarterback with more experience, possibly.
They're playing with house money. Nobody believes they're going to win.
I don't either.
All right, you got the Patriots. Mace.
8 consecutive conference championship games have been won by the home teams.
Good stat.
Which came after a run over a 3-year stretch in which 4 of 6 road teams won. I went back, did some number crunching before I went to bed yesterday evening. And I have my power rankings, and there are a lot of stats that I put into them. But when I went to like the raw things that went out, like offense, defense rankings, and taking out like the win loss things, Jacksonville was a lot higher. Jacksonville played like a team on a higher level last week. Yes, I know it's Blake Bortles, but I've been saying the Jags have the formula to beat the Patriots in the playoffs, just like the Ravens in 09, Jets in 2010, Ravens in 2012. I am picking the Jacksonville Jaguars Woo! To make their first Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Mace.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Thank you. Now, what are you going to do, Ryan?
I'm rooting like crazy for Jacksonville. Woo! I will be rooting like crazy for Jacksonville.
Do you really believe they can win?
I do.
Why?
They're the
pressure defense running game.
They're the kind of team that has beaten. I brought it up earlier this week. They're the kind of team that has beaten the Patriots in Foxborough. The Jets with Mark Sanchez and Joe Flacco with the Ravens. They're the kind of team that could go into Foxborough. Make mine the Jags too, baby. I'm gonna be rooting hard for it. I'm gonna be hoping with all hopes, and I'm gonna probably be disappointed. Finally, we got to get to it here. Vikings and Eagles. Steve Atwater says the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. So, yes. I'm assuming you got Eagles here.
Yes, absolutely. I got the Eagles.
All right, Mace. Oh, you want to go first here on
Nick
this one?
Nick Foles.
Case Keenum is the better quarterback. The Vikings defensively are just as good and just as opportunistic as the Eagles.
that moment either sparked them or will be the biggest moment of their season. I'm going to take Minnesota on the road. I'm going to go opposite of you on both games. Mace?
I'm going with the Vikings. I'm going with Keenum. I'm going with their defense. I'm going with the momentum they have. I think they're a better team right now than the Eagles.
That is a bold prediction, Cotton.
That's it for this week. Yeah, it's a quicker than normal podcast. I admit that, but had a lot going on. Want to get this in the can. Want to move on to the Senior Bowl. And don't forget, we're going to have our shows up. In fact, we'll probably even have our shows up in podcast form as well. The wrap-up shows that I talked about earlier. Again, 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Find out exactly what happened. If you can't go to the practices, you want to know what's happening, listen to Orange and Blue 760 or go to the Orange and Blue 760 stream on denverbroncos.com or the Broncos app. Find out who's up, who's down, who's doing well at Senior Bowl practice from me, Ryan Edwards, and Steve Atwater. We're going on a deep dive inside the Senior Bowl as the Broncos go looking for an up-close glance at some guys who might help the team get back where it wants to be after the 2017 season that finished 5-11. Thanks for joining me. Thanks to Ryan and Steve, as always. Talk to you from Mobile next week.